Good morning and welcome to WNHH FM's Dateline Hamden. I'm your host, Sam Growitt, inviting you behind the headlines to talk to the people that make Hamden tick. John Gelati helps the town get revenue that it needs to run its schools and keep its citizens safe. He's the town assessor. And that means that sometimes he has the very difficult job of explaining why people's taxes are what they are. John is here in the WNHH studio to tell us about that. Thanks for coming in, John.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you for inviting me this morning.
Now, it strikes me, and I've yes. So it strikes me that you sort of have an impossible balancing act, which is that you have to try to make Hamden's properties generate enough revenue to fund essential services in the town, but you also have to make sure you're not overtaxing residents. How do you manage that balance?
Well, the priority, of course, is making sure that assessments, which are the property valuations, are fair and equitable. And from that base, the calculations of taxes are determined through a combination of the analysis of the budget as it relates to the amount of assessment, and that produces a mill rate. So what's important, of course, is that the values are fair, and there's regular revaluations, which are conducted every 5 years, and the values are held in between that time.
I see. And then when you say the values are held in between that time,
they don't change. They're not reappraised unless there were improvements made to a property. So between reevaluations, basically the base is static.
You said every 5 years.
Yes.
Is that standard in the United States? Is it different in different places? What determines the length of time?
Well, that has been a moving target. Once upon a time, it was 10 years in Connecticut, as well as some other places. Like, for instance, Southampton, Long Island, it was 40 years between revals. So, of course, that made for an enormous mill rate. There's been a change to 5, and in some states they went to 3. And it appears as though 5 tends to be the pretty much the place where most municipalities and states are landing. In the Midwest, assessments are done on a county basis, also a little different than the municipalities, much larger.
Interesting. And is that 5 Hamdens, for Hamden specifically, or for Connecticut?
For Connecticut.
Okay. I see. So you came to Hamden in the spring of 2018.
That's correct.
Where were you before?
Well, originally had begun working in real estate and ad valorem appraisal in Connecticut, and that led me to Rhode Island, of which I became the assessor of Providence, Rhode Island, for a little more than a decade, and then a contract assessor after that in Newport as well.
So I imagine that Providence, Rhode Island, was a really interesting place to be assessor. What shape was the city in when you came in, and what were you dealing with there?
It certainly is an interesting place, and I actually was the monitor of the reevaluation, which was in progress in Providence when a federal investigation, which source was originally the assessor's office, sort of broke, and that changed quite a bit, certainly for the city. And it resulted in the mayor, as well as deputy tax assessor, and I think the tax collector, and there were several other people that ultimately went to prison as a result of that. So it was a very, very serious time for the city.
And what was your role in dealing with all of that?
Well, originally I came in for a brief time as the deputy, and then there was a new administration after just a few months, and I became the assessor for for the town for the following 10 years.
I said, did you have a lot of things you had to change, a lot of systems that you had to change?
Yeah. At the time when I first came in, it really was not at all technologically savvy. There was still a lot of reproducing of data manually in triplicate. Their software and their analysis, their CAMA software, computer assisted mass appraisal software, was also rather static, where they would just use it to find information, but they didn't actually use it to calculate any new information. So was a matter of creating operational efficiencies in the office. It was originally a staff of almost 40, of which I was able to reduce that to 25 people. I think that in the end, the biggest task that was at hand was to restore the confidence in the assessor's office and the process of reevaluation and the fair and equity of the assessments. So I spent a lot of effort working with the public regarding that. And I also had this rather unusual circumstance that occurred when I took over. The Board of Tax Review did not have a quorum, of which I tongue-in-cheek say it, quorum was in prison, which was actually the case. And so as a result of that, the Providence Bar Association had a meeting, and they decided that in order to preserve their standing for appeal, that they should need to file litigation against the town and against the assessor. Even though it's not a personal lawsuit, but in the capacity of assessor. So I started out with approximately 2,000 lawsuits against me and or against the assessor. And I was there as a monitor. So the reevaluation, continued, and I had stopped the reevaluation because I didn't like the quality of it, and it was deferred for a year. I pretty much tackled what was at hand, and I had a process that I used, and I was very, very consistent at it. I persevered, and as a result of that, not only, the public, but also my colleagues within the office also felt reassured. It was a very traumatic experience to have the FBI come in and take your personal things and say you can't leave and you don't know what's to come off from all that. So everybody really needed a leg up as far as that goes. And I had really no obstruction. Pretty much I was able to move forward, and eventually a lot of my work, of course, consisted of the development of tax stabilizations for the town, for the city of Providence. And the purpose of tax stabilizations are basically to create incentives for development. At the time that I first went there, there were basically holes in the ground in the center of town because the river had been moved and the train tracks had been moved. And the land was really only available for lease because it had been assembled by an investor. And of course, his terms were very much to his liking. And so the development needed to be created with some incentive. So it was very, very successful in the long run. If you've been to Providence, it's really quite charming. It has continued to move forward with that.
Yeah, it now hasn't been in a while, but it does. What I've seen of it, it has a sort of, seems like it has a growing downtown.
Certainly.
And then you came to Hamden, and had you, Did you grow up in Hamden?
Yes, I did. And I actually was in a very old feeling. My grandparents raised their family here. My parents lived here as well. And I had been gone for about 35 years. And when I was considering, I knew that Hamden needed an assessor. And although kiddingly, I was interested in some other positions, but I said, well, when you see my resume, you're going to probably want me to be the assessor, perhaps. And
what else were you interested in?
There was a position which was no longer funded or never really came to fruition. That was a financial advisor as a liaison between the mayor and the council. So I thought I might be helpful at that. A lot of my work, of course, is been in negotiations constantly and communications. And I have graduate degrees in real estate investment analysis from New York University, and I have a master's in public policy from Columbia University, the concentration in finance. But go ahead.
Oh yeah, I wanted to hear why you decided to come back
to
Hamden.
So what transpired was when I was considering coming and taking the position, I had an opportunity to speak with the mayor, Mayor Lang, and to discuss with him what his vision of Hamden was and his expectations of what he thought an assessor who was perhaps a little more able to deal with the public and with, my development background as well, basically what would be a good solution and a plan, really a strategy to go forward. And I continued to speak with him, I was really reassured that I had confidence in his integrity. And so I decided to say yes. And here I am today.
So, as you mentioned, you have other interests in economic development and finance. As assessor, what can you do to actually grow the town's grant list? That's something that a lot of politicians talk about as a really important next step for Hamden.
Well, I think that where there's the two pieces of the expenditure, the budget, which of course Mayor Lang is a very apt budget analyst, and then there is the base, of which is the assessment total value of taxable property in Hamden. And that, in order to really grow and expand to the capacity of Hamden, because Hamden is really it was a country town, and it was very charming, and now it's a suburb really of New Haven. And in addition to that, it is a city that is host to large and really becoming nationally known academic institutions with Quinnipiac, Southern Connecticut, Albertus Magnus, Yale, which of course are closely aligned, Paris School of Art. And so I think that Hamden could really expand the development of Dixwell Avenue, and really redevelopment, I suppose you would really, what it would concern. And I think that it would be, an opportunity. There is development already going on there with certain housing, and there's the canal trail, which goes down there, which is, very appealing. And I think that, Hamden really could be known for a town where you can come to school and stay and get a job. And I think areas of interest, data in general, is you know, the future in America. You see it in all kinds of markets and stock market analysis, et cetera. So I think that with continued effort, there is a rather strong emphasis on economic development currently, and they're reaching out in a number of areas, number of aspects. That's a much broader base of activity than just real estate development. But certainly the real estate development would be key to expanding the base, and ultimately the result would be a lowered mill rate, which of course would make values probably continue to rise and would make it even a more appealing place for people to come and stay and raise their children, because the school system is really very good.
Yeah. And what kind of development specifically? You said not some real estate development, but then also Dixwell, I think, has a lot of potential for new businesses. What kinds of businesses would you want to see there?
I think that it would be a combination of some certainly residential development, but a lot of office and flex space, which would pretty much accommodate technology, because I think that that is, you know, the strongest base to go with. The utility of that, you know, it appeals to, who would be the people that probably would want to go there and stay there. And again, you know, students who've come in, who've gotten used to Hamden. And of course, you know, you can access New Haven as well as easily. It's not very difficult to get onto the train to go to New York or to go to Boston. And of course, there's moves, you know, to of course have a different rail system, which would be even more efficient. So I think it's a combination of types of real estate, because basically, you know, it create sort of the to some degree an old idea of a downtown, you know, where they're basically, I think it would be fabulous to be able to walk to what you need to survive, basically walk to work, you know, walk to the store, and laundry, whatever it is that you need. And if you've lived in cities, you'll realize, you know, that that would be a very good vision. And it's kind of curious, for instance, you know, when you, like, if you live in New York, you realize that people have neighborhoods in New York, and they'll go to a certain block and then that's it, you know, and something is on the next block. Now you don't go there because that's not where you live, you know? And I think that kind of allegiance could be developed. And I think that it would be very, very attractive. I think it's a good time for development. And I hope as what is already in place now, sustainability and the importance of ecology, and I think the type of development, the design and the structure of it, solar energy, could be fundamental to the success of that redevelopment of that area. And I think that Hamden could really become a leader and an example for that type of development. There are a lot of communities which are experiencing what Hamden is experiencing. And I think that there's no reason we have the assets there. And you don't have to go too far to reach out to the splendor of the country, you know, just go north just a little bit. And certainly we have beautiful Brooksvale Park, the Sleeping Giant State Park, as well as two rather large areas. And the whole bike trail is very interesting for people to ride on. And I've spoken with people who use it, and they just love it. It's just good. It's just beautiful.
Just want to remind our listeners that you're listening to Dateline Hamden on WNHH Radio, broadcast at 103.5 FM and live streamed at www.newhavenindependent.org. Today's guest is Hamden assessor John Gelati. So you said you'd love for Hamden to be a town that students can actually find a job in after they graduate. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the Dixwell Avenue area right now as a place that's ripe for development. But of course, a lot of students, especially Quinnipiac students, live up in Mount Carmel. I think some Southern students and Albertus Magnus students live in around that Dixwell area. But Yale students obviously almost entirely live in New Haven. And if the town is going to develop that Dixwell Avenue corridor along the border with New Haven for business and for economic development, I think a lot of people say that they need to do it very carefully in a way that creates development that the people that already live there can actually take advantage of, and fosters the kinds of businesses that they would frequent and that they want in their community. How do you envision the town balancing the desires of the people that live there now and trying to make it a place that's attractive for students at Quinnipiac, for example?
Right. I think, you know, the goal is one and the same. I think that people who are currently living in Hamden would also like to have the benefit of that type of a community sort of downtown kind of area where they have access to that, and you know, they don't really have to go anywhere to get what they need. It's all right there. So I don't think that it's only, you know, just young people that necessarily would be attracted. I think there's a lot of seniors or families that are been raised their children and as parents and have lots of memories, and they want to stay in Hamden. And so they, you know, want to have that asset of ease of services. So I don't think it necessarily has to be only just directed at young people, but I certainly think that it's good to cherish our youth for sure. Mm-hmm.
And what can you do as assessor to try to realize some of these visions for that part of, for all of Hamden and economic development in Hamden?
Well, Sam, to start with, I'm here today talking to you, so that's one point. I am trying to execute, as we're moving nearer to our reevaluation, a reevaluation which is of a high standard. There are circumstances which are unique at this time because of the tornado which occurred in West Woods last year. And the effect of a natural disaster is there's no formula to just respond to that. It becomes really unique in every aspect. And part of the concern is being able to interpret and analyze the type of data which is used in the valuation process in light of the impact that the tornado would have. And it impacts market conditions and market behaviors. So you have to realize that it created for some people a necessity to move quickly and a longer return to get back. There's a lot of lost value with the trees and foliage, which are not actually valued other than from a sort of curb appeal impact, but are a consideration. So, you know, in terms of starting to analyze those sales that are occurring and, you know, how are they impacted and how long are the houses on the market for, and, you know, what is the result of that? very important. And as well as the opportunity to make sure that the realtors are getting information and are a partner with the town as well, and the citizens as well who perhaps do want to move. I want to see that be a great market, that people, can come and check out what's going on in Hamden, and, the real estate is really an asset, as are the school systems, and the many, many benefits which the town provides, which is really exceptional. I mean, there's a lot of places where you might go to live. There's, not really a great deal of entertainment. Hamden really does step up where that's concerned.
Yeah. So you mentioned the trees in the Westwoods neighborhood. That'll be a focus in the next revaluation. There's also been a lot of controversy about Neighborhood 40 in Southern Hamden. Could you talk a little bit about that? What happened there, and how can you deal with that going forward?
Yeah. Well, it appears that in the reevaluation of 2015, after some time, the residents of a particular area, which is identified for a market analysis purposes as Neighborhood 40, felt as though the amount of value shift was greater in that particular neighborhood to other parts of the town. Now, the process of reevaluation requires the engagement of the homeowner on several levels, and particularly when it comes to quality control, where there first is a verification of information, and then after analysis and a proposed value, they have an opportunity to attend informal hearings, and as a result, if they're not satisfied with the value, to attend an appeal process with the Board of Tax Review, and of course, there's the possibility of litigation beyond that. So it seems as though some time had expired between, there were some people who were engaged in reviewing, but as time went on, more and more people were concerned. And so that's a very important goal of the upcoming reevaluation of 2020, will be to be certain that all of the neighborhoods are fair and equally valued. So I have spoken with, there is a group that sort of call themselves Neighborhood 40, and I've taken the time to provide them with any information that they wanted, and an explanation of perhaps what may have transpired. I don't really know for sure, as I was not in Hamden at the time. And so I really don't know any of the details. But from my review of all of what was available to review, it certainly seems as though it was a circumstance. There was no intention on anyone's part to particularly single out that neighborhood. And certainly the Lange administration had nothing to do with any of those circumstances, other than as questions were being raised, they also raised the questions as well with concern. And the reevaluations are outsourced by to independent companies, which is of course absolutely necessary, because the process of reevaluation is labor intensive in phases, and it would be pretty much impossible for type of reevaluation to be done in house, so to speak. So these concerns I think, settled to a considerable degree. We have, as I said, you know, I've talked to them several times. There were some open meetings. I did have a public meeting to explain reevaluation, and I did take the opportunity that they had asked me to speak at another meeting that they had that was following a debate. So every effort is being made at this point, at least to at least clear the air as best that we can. And I, you know, hope that they will have, you know, confidence. And they have expressed to me that they, you know, I have reassured them that on a go-forward basis, you know, everything will be certainly open and transparent. And the outcome, of course, will be a fair and equitable assessments throughout the town.
How much, so you said, of course, Hamden outsources its revaluations. How much sway do you as assessor hold over the actual assessments that they come up with?
Well, ultimately, it is the assessor's position to accept the reevaluation recommendations or not. So in the end, you know, it's the assessor. The assessor absolutely has a say. But as you know, Sam, I actually have a reevaluation certification license with the state to actually conduct the reevaluation. So I have, you know, considerable insight into the process and, you know, and of course, what the expectations of outcomes should be. So I certainly will be meeting with the reevaluation analysts on a regular basis. They will still have the responsibility of, you know, conducting the analysis and coming up with conclusions. But I will be able to discern from their conclusions and the process of whether I think that all of the standards which are required in the reevaluation process, required by the state as well, are being met. And I also can say with uncompromising certainty that under no circumstances will there be any interference or influence by anyone, whether, you know, citizens, members of government, you know, it's the assessor's job, and that's what the assessor is going to do. And in the conclusion, everyone, of course, you know, it affects, of course, other parts of government. But I'm certain I've given Mayor Lang my word that I will assure him that the best possible job will be done. And he has assured me the same, that you know, he will let me do that.
Yeah. And if you do decide that a certain area is being taxed unfairly, can you change that?
Well, it isn't exactly taxed unfairly. It would be assessed perhaps
assessed unfairly.
That's all right, you know, just for the record, right? Okay. So well, would I change that? Yes, to the extent that I would, you know, want a different, would want to see the analysis, of course, you know, and if I had a different influencing opinion, you know, I would be certain that I think that it's correct. I mean, I'm very reasonable, and you learn after, you know, 35 years of being in this business, I don't really have any expectation of what a value should or shouldn't be. But I certainly could understand whether something seems reasonable or unreasonable. And what is so complex in ad valorem appraisal, which is appraisal for the purpose of taxation, is that the assessments not only are a value that has to make sense to an analysis of just similar property types, but it has to make sense throughout the whole town, so that a property on one street makes sense to a property on another street makes sense to a property on another street. So that's what's really complex, as opposed to when you might, if you were a property owner and you got a mortgage and you got an appraisal done, what you would do is, they would look at three sales, and out of those sales, they would make adjustments to the sales to come up with the value for the subject, and that would be based on appraisal standards, and that would be the appraiser's opinion of value on a particular date. So the complexity is that times, does it make sense to the whole town? So I would certainly want further analysis, perhaps another opinion, and then ultimately, the review of informal hearings and the Board of Tax Review also could be a final appeal or review. And even at that point, as a result of these processes, which, the property owner participates in, sometimes information is gained, and sometimes it's information that affects a whole area. And so for that reason, it might result in changes in other values, and there would be re-notification and opportunities to have that correction. So that's what goes on until the values are final values. The analysis is pretty much open, and if new information comes to light, it would be taken into consideration.
Right, and if you said there might be changes in other values, does that mean if you have to change one area, say lower the tax, the assessments in one area, you might have to consider raising them in another?
There could be any number of relationships, but primarily, it wouldn't necessarily be the consequence of the relationship of one area to another area. It would be because information that was received or determined when you're analyzing one area might also have an impact on the analysis of information that you're using in another area. So it's not so much comparing one area to another as much as it would be including in the analysis of another area some of the information which you're able to gain through the appeal process.
I see. I've been talking to some realtors in Hamden who say that the market is hot, but that's because property values are lowered because of high taxes. Is that something you're noticing in Hamden? And what is happening in Hamden? What are the characteristics of the market right now?
Well, nationally, the market, which is very strong, doing very well, is the entry market.
Could you just explain what the entry market is?
Well, sort of like first-time owners or people trying to buy a house to get into the market. And what makes Hamden appealing, with it has, if you think of Hamden just in its relationship to the surrounding towns, Orange, Woodbridge, Bethany, Cheshire, even North Haven as well. And you're looking at, the relationship of values. When you try to purchase a house, and we're seeing a lot of in general is that for people, first-time buyers are trying to get in, they have jobs because often it's families and they have a couple of incomes. So they have the income. But they might not have the savings. So that 20%, if it was necessary, is much less on a house that's $200,000 than on a house that's $300,000. So it makes entry into the market. And I think that the information, when we get sales, we report the sales to the state, the valid sales, and the state does a certain type of analysis. And the indication, I haven't gotten this last year's because it's not available yet, but for the prior years from the 15 reval, the you know, the values were not going down, right, compared to the assessment, as the relationship to the assessment. So that's kind of like a good sign. And
sorry, when you say the values were not going down in relation to the assessments, the values,
the sales, you know, there's a calculation because it's assessment to itself, but the, basically, you know, the conclusion is the values are not necessarily going down, and whether they are in maybe one area or another area, I haven't been able to break that up at this point. And that's, you know, a purpose of the revaluation. You know, beginning to assemble the information, to look at that information, to think about it on that basis. But pretty much, you know, even where there's, you know, a tax implication, it's accounted for. You know, it comes into the total of what it costs you to have a house, and it's still a great thing to have. You know, home ownership, it's still a good thing in America. So I don't think that, Hamden, you know, and often the concern, that is expressed to me is, well, you know, what's selling is people can't sell their house, it's lower, the taxes are high, you know, but some of those are market concerns and time on the market. It's a variance, and you have to see that becomes the market. And so that would be taken into consideration in terms of, you know, how long a house needs to be on the market. Well, if that's what the market is, I mean, the economy over the years has changed considerably. And there were times when, I mean, I remember when I was first in real estate where interest rates were 17 and 18%, you know, houses maybe were $20,000, you know, but still. So all of these factors are considerations.
See, houses are the assessed value of a house is 70% in Connecticut of the appraised value. Why is that?
I don't know, Sam. Why is that?
why 70%? And is that common practice in other states?
No, it's not common practice. And I just entirely think it just adds to the confusion. Of people understanding assessment and calculation of taxes, and in terms of making any changes or adjustments or any kind of analysis, you know, it's bringing in a percentage factor of all of this to go on. I'm not sure. I mean, in my many years, you know, in Rhode Island, and of course, as I said, I started in Connecticut, but you know, I think that the compliance in Connecticut is very high in terms of regulatory requirements concerning probably a lot of things, but certainly municipal taxation.
And so, compliance of
compliance meaning there's every month there's a constant demand for certain types of reporting and percent reporting on certain things a certain way, and type of consideration when you're looking at support from the state and allocation of funds. It's complicated, and I think that in general, and this is you know, my personal opinion, but of years of the less regulation, the better off we are. I'm sorry, that's, you know, pretty much how I see it, and I see that on a personal level, and as well. And I think that the more that the public understands what is going on with taxation, how, you know, their property values are affected, how that affects their taxes.
Why do you think less regulation is good?
Because I think that it allows for just the marketplace to respond to, or I should say it allows you know, the government and interaction to valuations, et cetera, to respond to the marketplace and with less compromising. I mean, we see that in zoning and in the past, you know, if you study, for instance, affordable housing, most of the analysis will indicate that, in fact, it's been regulatory zoning which has precluded the affordable housing and has actually raised the value of housing across the board. So, for example, you know, so it's that type of a thing, and it also doesn't leave the assessor with a lot of flexibility. I mean, this taxation, and Sam, I know you've been at a few of my presentations, so I'm sure to say that an increase in taxes can make the difference of what some people eat. Now, and I say that with sincerity because of my, you know, years of professional experience where I really did come in contact with people who, you know, lived in a house, were retired, maybe were working off of a little pension. And what was happening around them wasn't really happening to their house. It was the same house. They maybe hadn't done anything in years to that house. And it's really very serious. And I always say that I hope the people I'm speaking to, that none of them are in that situation. But it's very important. And the assessor, you know, should be able to try and help people wherever you can and not have, you know, requirements that if somebody who's elderly, well, an example would be, for instance, if someone who might be eligible for an exemption, which is a benefit, which is to do with them being elderly and to having maybe a limited income or some fix. And, you know, they get sick and someone's trying to help them and they don't know they have to reapply for something. And then there's a deadline and the deadline, you know, comes and goes. And the assessor has absolutely no discretion in changing or allowing that. And, you know, there is some truth, of course. You do have to have a line in the sand, otherwise everything would go on and on. But it's very important that you are able to help people. And I've always looked at policy and the implementation of policy as there's sort of two main considerations. And one is that you are or you are not eligible for something. And so if you are legally not eligible, then you're not eligible. But if you're not eligible because of the process or the procedure of, you know, qualifying for the eligibility or filing for the eligibility, perhaps that's an area that should have some leniency. So it's not so much of just throwing everything out the window and saying nothing counts and you don't need any rules and it's just wild, wild west kind of thing. I'm not suggesting that at all, but I'm suggesting that the straighter the calculations are, the taxes are, the fairer they are, and the better people feel about paying their taxes because they're confident in where their tax came from, how it was figured, and if they need to do something about it, how to go about doing it.
Yeah. So there's a revaluation coming up.
Yes.
What are you working on now to get ready for that? And what should people in Hamden expect in the next, the next year?
Mm-hmm. I am doing analysis of natural disaster consequences. So that's part of my own study so that I will be able to advise the revaluation company as well, whoever that might be. The process will be that people will receive a data mailer and that will have information about the property and we'll ask them to review it and to make corrections if necessary. And
when will that come out?
That you know, most likely would occur either the end of this year, the very beginning, next year. And then that information is taken by the reval company and edited if necessary. It's an opportunity for a property owner to say, no, I want you to come and inspect my house because I have this issue, I have that issue, and I want to make sure, you know, it's taken into consideration. Sales are inspected so that, you know, you have a better understanding of how they're valued. And today, with what's available online, it's easy to go online as an analyst and see houses that are on the market. And what are they on the market for? And you look at the house and you go, wow, it's brand new kitchen, brand new bath, brand new, you know, and compared to, say, another house that's on the market that has a different price, you know. But asking prices are not the basis of analysis, actual sales. But, you know, it's an indication of what's to come. And the sales are taken into consideration up to October 1st of 2020, which would be the date of valuation. And in appraisal, you do have to have one defined date. Otherwise, it could go on forever, you know. However, and this has come up, and I think people are concerned, certainly sales that occur after are looked at in the sense of not as part of the analysis, but certainly you want to look at the appraisal value that you have on a property that sells, say, 2 months later, that sells in December. You want to make sure those numbers seem to be lining up. So again, you know, there's like an indication there of you know, the validity of numbers, which have a statistical analysis requirement for the state, which in order to make the reval presentable. So that after the analysis is conducted and preliminary values are proposed, the public will receive that information and they will have an opportunity to start the cycle of an informal hearing if they wish.
They'll receive that information when?
Well, it would be after October 1st. So it would be in the late fall of 2020. So it would be in the fall of late fall in 2020. You know, it would be an opportunity for them to look into that. I have anticipation of a flyover as part of the reevaluation, which is now being used more and more.
And is that literally something flies over and takes
photographs? The plane, you know, films all the real estate, and the technology now is so refined that you can actually, just with software, take the dimensions that are on the photo and superimpose them on the sketch to make a determination of whether the exterior measurements, which are the measurements they're used. There's never interior measurements made, by the way, reevaluation or property cards. It's all an exterior measurement. But another benefit of this is that tremendously valuable to safety departments. And so there's a lot of opportunities, you know, as far as engineering as well, to use the benefit of this flyover, which is not, you know, tremendously costly. And it's being used more and more. So that will, of course, help to verify information. And so as I get back, you know, there's informal hearings and see how that goes from there. And eventually, you know, the role, if it's accepted, you know, would become the grandmother.
Well, that's about all the time we have. Thank you, John, for coming in.
Thank you so much, Sam, for inviting me today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for joining us today on WNHH FM's Dateline Hamden. Thanks again to today's guest, Hamden assessor John Gelotti. Thanks to Brian Slattery for producing today's program. And thanks for listening.